think just about every time I teach faith exploration classes, somebody will always ask, what exactly is the Holy Spirit? And I respond, that's a great question. Let me know when you figure that out. Well, maybe not really, but sometimes that's what I feel like saying. You see, we North Americans tend to have a somewhat ambivalent kind of relationship with the Holy Spirit. We love talking about Jesus. We can handle talking about God as Father or as Creator, but we seem to have a bit more of a struggle when it comes to talking about the Holy Spirit. I suspect that our Northern European roots might have something to do with that. Our faith has been heavily influenced by the Enlightenment. In our society, we've learned to think about everything in terms of the scientific method. We have this need to measure and to weigh, to quantify information, and we love information. Over the past several hundred years, this way of looking at the world has also come to influence how we experience our spirituality. But I wonder, are there other, maybe different ways of knowing God that might be just as meaningful? Author Corinne Ware talks about the wheel of spirituality. And she says there are four main ways that people can connect with God, or four spiritual types: head spirituality, heart spirituality, mystical spirituality, and social activism spirituality. Now, I won't go into a lot of detail about this today, but you may remember I've spoken about it before. The main thing is, today I wanted to make the point that head spirituality is very intellectual. It tends to focus on rationality and ideas. The sermon is a really major focus of worship in these head spirituality kinds of traditions. There's a lot less emphasis, though, on how we connect with God through our emotions, through our bodies, or through our senses. I've heard people describe the traditional German Mennonite background church as being very much oriented toward a head type of spirituality. So in other words, in our tradition, we tend to value thinking about God. On the other hand, though, if you were to visit my sister-in-law's Pentecostal church, you'd find a congregation that's very much oriented toward a heart type of spirituality. There's much more emphasis on emotion. We spend a lot of time here teaching about Jesus, and the Pentecostal church spends a lot of time singing about the Holy Spirit. And that's probably part of the reason why Pentecostal churches might feel like an awkward or even uncomfortable style of worship for some of us Mennonites. It's just a very different type of spirituality from what we're used to. But Corinne Ware would argue that all of these different types of spirituality are important and necessary expressions of faith. We need to learn about God with our heads and to experience God in our hearts. Talking about Jesus and feeling the Holy Spirit at work are both important. Those of you who visited Mennonite congregations in different parts of the world may have experienced some very different types of spirituality than what we're used to here. When I lived in Bolivia, I attended Iglesia Mennonita Príncipe de Paz, Prince of Peace Mennonite Church. They enjoyed sermons, but the real emphasis in their services was on the worship. It was more of a heart type of spirituality. Their music, too, was all about electric guitars and keyboards and drums, and the louder the better. The songs would start off really fast and upbeat and peppy, but throughout the course of the service, they would tend to slow down and get more emotional. And people would often raise their hands and sway back and forth, and occasionally somebody might even be in tears or maybe shout amen when the pastor made a point. And this might surprise you, but one of their favorite ways of celebrating a special Sunday, like maybe Pentecost, is to organize a choreography based on a traditional Bolivian dance. So they would rent these beautiful, expensive costumes with glittery beads and poofy skirts, sometimes even bowler hats. And the young adults would get together to rehearse weeks in advance. They would even bring flags into the church. Every congregation designs its own special church flag, and sometimes they would wave these around during the dance. Now for me, this was totally different from anything that I had ever seen before. Coming from a church rooted in a head spirituality, one might possibly be forgiven for wondering, is this place even Mennonite? But when I saw it, and when I experienced it, I couldn't help but feel the beauty of this dance as a powerful, moving act of worship. It was like seeing the Holy Spirit. A few months ago, when we hosted the IVEP conference here, we were gifted to have a little taste of how Mennonites from other cultures worship God. And some of those presentations looked a lot different than what we're used to here on a typical Sunday morning. I really enjoyed talking with some of the young adults and asking them about how they felt about our kind of worship here in North America. One person politely said, "It's a lot different than I'm used to." Somebody else who was really honest said, "The music is kind of weird." And a third person told me, "You know, at first, I found it hard to feel God's presence during worship here in North America. But over time, I realized that the people here are really committed to their faith. They just express it in a different way than what we're used to in my culture." So who can say that one culture's worship is better than another's? Perhaps diverse cultures and even different Christian traditions might have something that we can learn from each other. This morning in our reading from the book of Acts, we see that Jesus' disciples came from one culture, just one culture, and one geographic region. But when God pours out the Holy Spirit on them, they quickly begin to realize that God's good news isn't just for them. It's relevant to everybody. After Jesus' resurrection, he gives some instructions to the disciples before he ascends into heaven. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem until they can receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what their little group of just 120 people, maybe the same amount that's here this morning, that's what they're doing on the day of Pentecost. Now, we tend to think of Pentecost as a Christian holiday, but actually it began as a Jewish festival celebrating the wheat harvest. It's maybe a bit hard to picture the wheat actually being harvested right now, but remember, we're talking about the Middle East here. And every year during Pentecost, faithful Jewish pilgrims would gather together from across the Roman Empire to give thanks to God and worship at the temple. Kind of like their version of Thanksgiving. Because of this festival, Jerusalem is packed with thousands of out-of-town visitors. And that's the day that God chooses to send the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. As the loud sound of a violent rushing wind fills the house where they're staying, and mysterious tongues of fire come to rest upon each person, the disciples begin speaking in a multitude of different languages. Now, all this noise must have caught some attention because a crowd begins to gather around the house. Individuals quickly realize that they're hearing something a lot stranger than a strong wind. No matter where they're from, each person is hearing somebody talking about God in their own language. They can't believe it. A bunch of hillbilly Galileans with no education are suddenly speaking in a dozen different languages from across the known world. Some of the crowd just can't wrap their minds around this. They write it off as another strange experience by just saying, "These guys must be drunk." But others begin to wonder, "What's going on here? Does this mean something?" And then Peter gets up and begins to speak. He tells the crowd, "We're definitely not drunk. It's just 9 a.m. This strange event is a sign of God's Spirit being poured out upon all people. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, if you're a man or if you're a woman, if you're a slave or if you're a free person. The ancient prophecies of Joel are being fulfilled right in front of you today. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And God's Spirit is available for us and for you, right here, right now." Can you imagine what it might be like if one Sunday, regular Sunday like this, God just showed up here in such a powerful way that over 3,000 people from all kinds of different backgrounds, different cultures, different ethnicities, all just decided, "I'm going to become a member of North Church." That's what the first church experienced that day. Imagine all the challenges that would create for our congregation. How do we help everyone to feel included? How do we choose music that feels meaningful to everybody when some people play the harp and other people play the electric guitar, and nobody, at least not the new people, knows how to sing in four-part harmony? How do we even make sure that there's something that everybody can eat at the next church potluck? What happens if they don't like our sweeback? These were the kinds of questions that the early church had to figure out. What a wonderful problem to have. They were given the gift of realizing God is so much bigger than any one culture. Well, I just finished binge-watching Star Trek Voyager on Netflix. Has anybody here ever watched Star Trek? I feel like there's a lot more of you than would own up to it. When the original Star Trek series premiered back in 1966, the one that had Spock and Captain Kirk in it, it used the genre of science fiction to try to make some really provocative social commentary on racism and diversity. In an American culture that was still grappling with segregation and with Jim Crow laws, Star Trek imagined a universe where skin color was meaningless because a lot of people weren't even human. The new racism was between different kinds of aliens, Klingon versus human versus Vulcan versus Romulan. Star Trek imagined a world where different species came together, sharing their technology and their different cultures to create a united federation of planets. What held them together was their shared mission to explore the galaxy. Star Trek illustrated a kind of utopian vision of what their real world might look like if we could just learn to accept each other's differences. Now imagine if North Church could be that deeply multicultural, a place where we could come and be stretched by learning from each other about how to experience God in new ways, maybe ways that are outside of our comfort zone a little bit, and yet still be held together by our shared mission of growing relationships in Christ. Just imagine how rich and colorful and sometimes challenging that would be. I'm so grateful for all the opportunities that we have to experience God by getting to know another culture right here in Essex County. It's a fantastic place to live for that. This afternoon, the Leamington Ministerial is hosting our second peace party at Seacliff Park. Last time, it was such an amazing experience. I think my personal favorite moment was when there was this group of Catholic nuns in their habits who started dancing in a circle, holding hands with a bunch of little Syrian Muslim boys. There were people singing Spanish praise and worship songs. There were migrant workers from Jamaica. There were Anglicans roasting halal hot dogs and Unitarian Universalists playing bocce ball. And there were people from our own church listening to music and leading games with the kids. It was awesome. But the reason that this party started in the first place was because a small group of people decided that we wanted to do something positive to build relationships with our neighbors from different cultures. There's a lot of hatred and violence in our society right now, and we wanted to push back against that. So we figured, what better way to build peace than to throw a party? You know, I still feel like the Holy Spirit can be a difficult thing to wrap my brain around from an intellectual perspective. But that day at the peace party, I experienced what the Spirit looks like in action. And it looks like a couple of Catholic nuns with some Syrian refugee boys dancing together on a Sunday afternoon in Leamington. So this week, I invite you to watch for the Holy Spirit. Amen.